Welcome to Look Up with Pastor Mike and his wife Linda Sasso of Calvary Chapel of Eagle, a radio ministry designed to assist you in applying God's Word to your everyday life. For the next half hour, Pastor Mike and Linda will encourage you with your walk with Christ and help you look up to Jesus. If you need advice on marriage, life challenges, or relationships, call in now. It's time to look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's Mike and Linda.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Pastor Mike, and I'm sitting across the table from my beautiful wife, Linda, and she's here. We're here together as a team again.
Today.
We missed yesterday, and we're back in the saddle again. Listen, we're going to continue in our series of life-changing truth, looking at our last set of scriptures about marriage, and it's quite fitting because we're in Ephesians 5 that says a lot about marriage, so we'll probably be in Ephesians 5 for a little bit because there's a lot to talk about as far as husbands and wives or God's command for marriage. And, you know, we've got a lot to say about that. But first, I want to remind you that we are a live call-in show. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to have listeners call in, and Linda's going to tell you how to do that.
Hi, everybody. If you want to be live on the radio with us, go ahead, give us a call. That would be 208-377-3790. Again, that's 208-377-3790. If you just don't like that thought of talking live on the radio, go ahead and send a text message to Calvary Chapel Eagle's phone, and that's 208-891-2635. And we are not on Facebook Live today because we don't have all our equipment with us, but that is okay, radio audience. You get our full attention today.
We get to be a real radio program and not just always, you know, it's kind of weird sometimes. We're playing around with the camera and we're switching it, aiming it back and forth, and it's a little bit of a distraction sometimes. So now we got to just remember how to do radio. Here we are.
Now we have to look at each other.
Yeah, that's okay. I like looking at you. Okay, so we're in Ephesians chapter 5. We just went over a list last time we were in the studio of things that are not fitting for Christians. And, you know, we looked at verse 3 that talked about fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. In verse 4, filthy talk, foolish talk, jesting, coarse jesting, stuff like that. Now, one of the things I'll remind you, I did look at a parallel passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11, somewhere around there, that actually gave that list and a little bit more. And just remember, there are things that God considers not appropriate for the Christian. And not only not appropriate, but the scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 actually go as far as the saying that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And we ended the program 2 days ago when we were looking at this, reminding you that it's not a matter of have you ever done those things, because we've all got a list of things we've done. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, where Paul talks about it to the Corinthians, he says, "And such were some of you." We've all got a past, folks. And so every single one of us have things that we're ashamed of, things that we hope nobody ever remembers, things that we never want to bring up. That's just the way life is. We have all got a past. We've all sinned. Otherwise, we wouldn't need Jesus. You know, if there's anybody here who hasn't sinned, they don't need Jesus. So we're all guilty of something. But I'm grateful that the scriptures say such were some of you, but you were cleansed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what we want to mainly keep our focus on is that we are now new creatures in Christ, and we're to live as new creatures in Christ. Just today I was commenting on my Facebook page. I think it was just responding to my brother in California. And I put a big long list a couple days ago on what we are in Christ. Now that Christ has saved us, you know, we're the salt of the earth, you know, we're the light on the hilltop. And there's a bunch of things that Jesus says we are, and the scripture says we are, as children of God, born again children of God, sons and daughters of God. There's a lot of really neat things. We're saints, you know. So if you know that, if you focus on that, you know, those of you who've been listening for a while, you know that that's one of my pet peeves. When people just say, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. To me, that's Eeyore Christianity. That's not appropriate. And I know some great people say that, but I would like to correct that. I'd like them to rethink that. Even the great preachers of this age who say, remember, we're just sinners saved by grace. I think there's a problem with that. Because if all you do is identify yourself as just a sinner saved by grace, then that's how you're going to live. Like just a sinner who happens to be saved by grace. And what can a sinner do but sin? I think as we find our new identity in Christ, we realized who we are in Jesus because he died for us, he redeemed us, he did so much to change us from the inside out. We're now new creatures. The old things have passed away, all things have become new. And if we just get a hold of this and embrace it and identify with who we are now, not who we used to be, it helps us to live a step above where we were before. It helps us to live as who we are, saints, children of God, sons and daughters of the King. And so anyway, that's what I want to point out as we're now back in Ephesians 5, because it talks about because of who you are now, then these things aren't fitting for you anymore, you know? And then at verse 5, he also goes, for this you know, no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God in Christ. And so there's a line being drawn in the sand here, folks, that Paul is saying, he said it in Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 6, he says it now in Ephesians 5, that you're not to be living like the rest of the world. And if you are, something's very, very wrong. You're either not really saved or you're headed in the wrong direction to the point of danger, because it says at the end of this that those people will not don't have an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. And so the bottom line, when you look at all this stuff, you can't say I'm going to heaven, I'm saved, if you're living in sin. Well, wait a minute, Pastor Mike, I believe that once saved, always saved, and I'm well, maybe you're not saved then. How about that? Okay? All I know is what the Bible says is that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So you need to really search your heart and rethink things, that you're either not saved or you're severely backslidden and need to repent, and there will be consequences for backsliding, okay? And it goes on to say in verse 6, I'm in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6, today's happy sermon. We're talking about, think happy thoughts,
well,
okay?
Well, we could get there if we keep going.
We will, okay? It says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the list of sins that were listed and the ones in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and on. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Now, I must admit, there is a distinction that Paul is saying them and us. There's a difference. He's talking about the sons of disobedience, meaning the non-believers, the unsaved. But then he talks about us, that we should not be partakers with them. Why? Because the wrath of God, those things bring the wrath of God, okay? So anyway, I think it's important that we talk about that before we move into a little bit happier and lighter verses, because I think that most people will downplay, I just think a lot of Christians downplay the warnings and really highlight the promises. Every blessed promise of the scripture, they want to shout from the rooftop. And the warnings against sin, well, that just happens to be in there too, but we don't have to talk about them. Listen, folks, let me give you some sound advice. When you read your Bible, put the same amount of weight on every verse. The promises, embrace them and love them and cherish them. The warnings, love them, embrace them and cherish them, and change your life accordingly when you are being warned in a way that you're going that's the wrong way. So
we're getting a warning here of not being part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
We know what their end is. That's what he's saying. You know what the end is of all of these people. So don't be partakers with them. Don't let people tell you, oh, it's okay if you do this. That's not a sin. you know, you were forgiven of all your sins. So whatever you do now, Christ already paid for it. You are fine living the way you want. Some people will tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't believe it. There is a call to live a holy life.
Right.
We are to be separated, to be a peculiar people, not one who caves in and does everything the world does. Disobedience, it's an obstinate opposition to the divine will. So disobedient, you're just fighting against what God wants. Don't let people deceive you, cheat you, trick you with empty words. They mean they're devoid of truth. They have no truth in them. How many people do you hear nowadays tell you, oh, that's no big deal? I know we talked about it last time that I was in, I guess it was last week, that sin nowadays, and especially the new generation coming up, you've got kids that think it's absolutely fine to have oral sex because they say they're not having sex. And you ask them, oral sex. The word is in there. What do you think this is? But because they're not actually having intercourse, they think that's okay. And it's not a sin. Come on, world. It's just making that compromise to be able to sin and say, well, it's not this, so I can get away with it. I don't want to live my life with, well, how far can I go? Mm. And what can I get away with before I finally cross that final line?
Right.
To me, it's an attitude of the heart. If you're looking for how far you can go before you cross that final line, you've already crossed it because you've crossed it in your heart. You're not looking to live a life of obedience and surrender unto the Lord then. You're looking for how much of the world can I be like and still be able to go to heaven. Right here, it tells us you can't do very many things that the world does because they have no inheritance in the kingdom of God.
Yeah. Well, I think that it all comes down to walking in the spirit or walking according to the flesh. Yeah. And that's what this whole, actually chapter 4 and 5 talk about and describe what it looks like to walk in the flesh, what it looks like to walk in the spirit. And so as we continue to go through this text, I want to remind you that really the flow of it, matter of fact, I think if we go back to chapter 4, verse 30, it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. And then it talks about let all bitterness and wrath and anger and stuff put it from you. Well, that's how you grieve the Holy Spirit. So sin grieves the heart of God because we're not being led by the Spirit, but we're being driven by the sinful nature. The flesh is controlling our life. That's what sin is. It's living according to the sinful nature of your flesh rather than walking according to the will of God. Remember, one of the things I told you that I like, the definition of sin that I like, it says, I don't even remember where I got it from, but sin is an attempt to meet a legitimate need in an illegitimate way. And so God has, you know, created you a certain way. You have appetites, you have needs, you have desires. And there's right way to fulfill your desires, and then there's sinful ways to fulfill your desire. And so just think about it that way, that sin is the desire or an attempt to meet a legitimate need in an illegitimate way. And so God has legitimate ways to meet your needs, my friend. Seek His will, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and you will be fulfilled. You really will. I mean, there is no good thing will He withhold from those who trust in Him. You look to Him, and God designed and invented pleasure and fun and satisfaction and all the things you long for in life. God invented that stuff, you know? God created what is good and pleasurable. And the problem is, I know sometimes even when we talk about food, we'll go, ooh, that's sinfully delicious. Well, you know what? It doesn't have to be sinful to be delicious. It doesn't have to be sinful to be good. All good things come from God. Okay, well, that's one of my rants I like to go on, okay? So we're going to continue. Where did I leave off? I'm going to let no one deceive you. We're in chapter 5, verse 8. I was scrolling around looking for some other verses here.
Yeah, we have the list of don't do this. Now we're going to get to a list of do this.
Yeah. Well, and the subtitle in my Bible says walk in light. And I like that because really, that's just what I was saying. That is exactly what the Lord would have of us, that we walk in the Spirit and not according to the flesh. And it goes on to say, so you were you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Remember I told you just a few minutes ago that if you identify yourself as just a sinner saved by grace, then you're going to live like just a sinner. But if you identify yourself as a child of light, you were once darkness, but now you're light. And he says, walk as children of light. See, that's really the point I was trying to make is the writers of Scripture are trying to encourage us to be who God has made us to be. He's rewired us. He's caused us to be born again. We're new creatures in Christ. And he wants us to live in that newness of life. And it is a wonderful thing. It's not a bummer. Some people make religion, or at least I know there's a false religion and a true religion, but some people make a true religion sound like, well, you gotta, you know, eat sour grapes and you gotta suck on pickle juice and you gotta, you know, it just makes it, they just make it seem like you can't do this and you can't do that. It's miserable. I don't do this and I don't do that. Well, let me tell you something. A Christian gets to enjoy fullness of life. A Christian gets to do all the things that really fulfill and satisfy. So when he says, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, you got to realize there's a whole new life that God has for you, and it's good. It's a good thing. He says, walk or live as children of light. Now, this reminds me of the verse in 1 John chapter 1, where John is talking about walking in the light. And he says, this is the message which we have from him. I'm reading 1 John 1:5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. Now, we're not just talking about the physical characteristic of light, but I believe that God is somewhat of, that's a good way to describe him. He's brightness, glory that you cannot even approach his glory. But I believe that light is also symbolic of that which is truth, that which is out in the open, that which is, there's no deception in the light. There's nothing hidden in the light. And he says, this is the message which we heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. He says, this is John writing in 1 John 1:6 now. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. And so really when we're talking about the things you can't do, the things you shouldn't do, the things you can do, the things you should do, it really comes down to walking in the light or walking in darkness, walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh. And so what John is saying here, if we say we have fellowship with God and we walk in darkness, meaning in those hidden, secret, sneaky things, and we're living in sin, and that we're lying. The truth isn't in us. He says in 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I believe this is one of the great benefits of walking in truth, walking in the light, walking in the Spirit, walking with God, is that there is a continual cleansing. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect and you never make a mistake and you'll never make any sins. I think that the more you walk in the light, the less you sin and the less you actually would sin intentionally. But I think what John is saying, 1 John 1:7, that's one of those great verses that I believe God is saying, that it's a benefit of walking in the light, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. I think that I look at it like if you stand under the shower, then the water cleanses you from dirt. It's like when you walk in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing you from sin. It's like I heard one great preacher once say, I want to be under the spout where the glory comes out. You know, I like that. When you're walking in the light, when you're being showered with his presence and his glory, one of the benefits of walking with God and walking in the Spirit is there's a continual cleansing going on in your life.
And if you are rolling around in the mud,
right,
you're going to get mud on you.
Right,
you
right.
know, it is inevitable. The mud's going to get on you if you're rolling around in it.
Right. Now, I do think it's interesting. I'm just looking at verse 7 again, and it's saying that if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship. Oh, by the way, that's another great benefit of walking in the light. If you're walking in the light, walking in the Spirit, and I'm walking in the light, walking in the Spirit, we will have sweet fellowship with one another. It's hard to have fellowship with somebody who's walking in the flesh, who's walking in sin, and you're living in the Spirit. There are people in my life I really love, but I can't really have deep, intimate fellowship with because they're in a whole nother wavelength. They're on another path. Their value system, their life drives and motivations are totally different than mine. And it's just hard to have that sweet fellowship. But if you walk in the light and I walk in the light, we will have fellowship with one another. That's what 1 John 1:7 is saying. And it also says another benefit is that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now, here's the thing that keeps jumping out to me here in this last part of the verse, that it cleanses us from all sin. Well, haven't I already been cleansed of sin? Aren't I already sinless? Come on, folks, let's be honest. I don't care if you just got saved yesterday. Between yesterday and today, chances are high that somewhere along the line you said something you shouldn't have said or did something you shouldn't have done or looked at something you shouldn't have looked at. I mean, it's really easy to pick up dirt along the way. But I like this in verse 7 because it's giving me the impression that there'll always be a struggle with sin in the Christian's life. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus will continually cleanse us from all sin. Continue to walk with him, my friend. Walk in the light. Walk in the truth. I mean, one of the ways I know to walk in the light is just to stay in the word, stay in prayer, stay in continual communication. And I don't mean you have to get on your knees for an hour each day or 2 hours each day. Just always be, you know, pray without ceasing is what the scripture says. I believe that the more you're conscious of the awareness of Jesus in your life, you'll be praying continually. Praying in the Spirit, praying without ceasing. There's times I'm alone in the car driving down the street and I'm just talking to God. People might think I'm on the phone or something. That's okay. Sometimes I'm speaking in tongues. I'm just praying in the Spirit. And so if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And it's an ongoing thing in our life. Verse 8 then says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, here's the thing. There are Christians who will tell you that they never sin anymore. Now, I'm not encouraging sin. Believe me. Trust me. I'm not saying it's okay. We all sin. No. I'm just saying there is a doctrine that a lot of Christians have called sinless perfection, that they believe that once you get saved, you don't sin anymore. And if you do sin, that means you weren't really saved. My goodness, which one of us are saved then, you know? And so verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, there's that faithful verse we all know that you should all have it memorized, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad that verse doesn't say, if we would only be faithful and just? It doesn't say that. It says God is faithful and just. Again, I'll read it again to you, 1 John 1:9. Our job is to confess our sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I'm grateful for that.
See, back in verse 7, we read, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, verse 9 tells us how that happens. If we confess our sins. It is important. We need to confess our sins. We need to acknowledge we are a sinner.
Right.
And that's where that continual cleansing is there. When we confess, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So
All right, I'm hearing music. Are you going to let music stop you from talking? Are you finished?
I'm finished.
Okay. All right, folks, that's all we have time for. We hear the music. That's a great song, by the way. Nicole Nordman, Look Up, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look it up. Maybe you buy it for yourself. Folks, we won't be here tomorrow. We're taking the family on a trip. We'll play a recording. But Lord bless you guys, and we'll see you next week.
If you'd like to know more about Calvary Chapel of Eagle, just go to the website at cceagle.org. Be sure and join Pastor Mike every Saturday at 8 p.m. and on Sundays at 8 a.m. for his radio show, It's All About Jesus. If we ran out of time and you didn't get a chance to call in, you can send your questions to Look Up at cceagle.org. And may the Lord richly bless you as you continue to look up to Jesus.
Look forward.